Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Connor, you even arrived before I get here.
Well, I set my clock. What can I say? Electricity went off, so it may not be perfect. If I'm 1 minute early, I'm 1 minute early.
Are you in the path of the storm?
I don't think so. I didn't know there was a storm. I've kind of created one in my house going through drawers and closets. I'm trying to make use of this time. And if I didn't set my clock, believe me, I wouldn't. You know, I just seem to have lost the set of body clock with work.
I understand. Well, we're waiting until somebody else comes.
Okay, I thought I heard another voice.
I'll check to make sure.
Okay.
No, it says you're the only one.
Okay. See, there it goes again.
I didn't hear it.
They said good evening. It's kind of a faint voice.
Your hearing is better than mine.
Well. It might be somebody driving.
The system I have, I can tell how many people are on the call, so that's what I just checked.
Well, am I now hearing things, seeing things? I'm going to laugh because I think that's fun.
Well, Hashem is sending you messages. What can we say?
Okay, I'll take that as a positive.
It is. It's meant as a positive. Just be certain that you don't say that to everybody.
I don't, believe me. We're working on humility in Musar, so I'm trying to be quiet. Quieter, let me put it that way.
Humble is a very difficult trait to acquire. So I wish you luck.
There were so many examples in Passover, you know, the items on the Passover plate and parsley and the matzah, the things that we just need to be reminded.
We do.
And I think it's harder on a teacher because, especially, you know, working with young children, you're used to correcting everybody as a helping aid, you know, and to see things and not really say anything because you see them doesn't mean you speak them out. So I think that's why it's harder on a teacher because you don't look at it as pride or arrogance, but you look at it as helping. And then to see that Tiferet, the vice of Tiferet was arrogance and pride. So I'm meditating on that.
It's always amazing.
You know how long I've tried to find time to reconnect with you, and I've not been able to. And had you not scheduled it, and I set my clock, I would have still said, I don't have time. So.
Well, I'm thinking that since it's been that long, and, you know, I know you had started it, but you'd said you wanted to start over, so maybe
yeah.
We'll just do it. Private class if you want.
Okay. I had gotten to lesson 15, and months back, I got my notebook, my book, everything together, but I just couldn't find a time that I could say, well, in my day every week. But that'll be fine if you want to do that.
I think that's probably appropriate. So I'm going to put it I'll put it on the website as the recording, but so if some people come next week, they'll be able to, you know, have that access.
Okay.
So we'll start with the L'shem Yichud, and then I will explain where the handouts are. L'shem Yichud Kud Shabarichu Ishkinte Bidhilu Urchimu Udhilu Udhilu Urchimu Le'achta L'shem Yudhe Bavalhe Be'yichuda Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'sok Torah Mitzvah Vayehino Amadonai Elohinu Aleinu Ma'asei Yadeinu Kanane Aleinu Ma'asei Yadeinu Kanane. The handout is available on the Yashem Revealed Wisdom Matrix. It's in row 9 in the second column from the left. That opens up, that link opens up to a landing page. And if you scroll down, the first link is for the sounds of the letters, the sounds of the Hebrew letters. And that is where we will start our discussion today. Then after that link, there's a link to a recording of the sounds of the letters. And I've stressed that you need to practice this handout for the sounds of the letters. Following that is Class 1's handout, but it's actually Class 1 and 2's handout. And it essentially takes about 3 classes to get through the material in that handout. And for many people, that's a frustration because they want to get to the meat of the subject. But the Sefer Yetzirah there's so much material that is hinted at that it's important that you take your time to develop the process in what the Sefer Yetzirah can teach you. And with that overview, we're going to start with the Aleph Bet letters. So when you open that out, you'll see that you have the list of the 22 letters, and underneath it you have the sounds in English, in transliteration. The vowel under each letter is its root vowel. The root vowel means when you say the name of the letter, it always starts with that letter. The first letter in the name of the letter is the letter itself. And the way you pronounce that name has a vowel. That is called the root vowel. Now, if you scroll down to the bottom of this handout, you'll see that there are 22 lines of the Hebrew alphabet, but they're all different. Why are they different? Because they start with a different letter of the 22 Hebrew alphabet letters. And the process of practice of the letters is to read all 22 lines as rapidly as you're capable. And the more you do it, the more you're consistent. The more you do it, the more you develop the muscles of your mouth to say the sounds. The more you develop the consciousness about the letters. Now, I'm going to read the instructions that are on the bottom. Listen to the recording so you make sure that you're saying the letters with the proper pronunciation. You read the Hebrew right to left, and you'll notice that the English pronunciation is right below the Hebrew letters, as best as the word processors allow us to do that. Say the letters as rapidly as possible, and when you finish each row, say that same row again in reverse order. So instead of starting right to left, you start left to right. Step 4. Sometimes you repeat each row until you start with the last letter tav. Sometimes you repeat each row because certain letters have two sounds, and you should practice both sounds. And that's explained in instruction 6. Step 8, or instruction 8. Remember, you are planning to do this rapidly with clear pronunciation. Learn the proper breathing as well as speed. Breathing is more important than speed. Pronunciation is the most important. Now you can go back to the top of the page. And I'm going to go through the sounds of the letters slowly, but also with the breathing. And the breathing is essentially the way a baby breathes, from the diaphragm, from the deepest part of the lungs. I believe somebody just came on.
Brandela.
Brandy, we started already, so I would appreciate if you'd listen to the recording for that.
Okay, I'll catch up.
So we're in the handout for the Hebrew letters and their sounds. And I'm starting with the first row. Okay. Beata Shireko energy. I'm not going to finish all 22 lines today. It would take too long, and there's a lot of material that we still can cover. But I want to stress that this is something that needs to be practiced, and it needs to be practiced each week, each day. Now I'm going to the handout from class one. This is the first in a series of classes, approximately 42, that are designed to give a student of Kabbalah a personal experience of the Creator. You have to have a desire to have this personal experience, to have it. Many people will verbalize that they want it, but in truth, they are concerned, they have fears. They really are uncomfortable with that concept. And it's something, it's a blockage that stops you from having a personal experience of the Creator. And this experience will be unique to each and every individual. The experience I have had is not the experience that you will have. And this is because each person is a unique desire to receive. On a conscious level, we may think that my desire is to meditate or to learn Hebrew astrology or even to manipulate physicality. This is a similar desire that other people have. So how can my desire be unique and create a unique experience of the Creator? Yet the true desire on the level of the unconscious is unique to each and every individual person. The deepest and most intimate desire is to cleave to the Creator. Sometimes this word, which in Hebrew is devekut, is translated as getting closer to the Creator, rather than cleave. This first class is an introductory class about the Sefer Yetzirah. We may or may not start learning the book this week, or even next week. This is because the learning takes preparation. There are a number of commentaries upon the Sefer Yetzirah, which are not set documents, as we will discover. The Sefer Yetzirah is taught today in an academic manner. It was not written as an academic treatise. It was written by an astrologer and then redacted into its present form by a mystic. At least that is my opinion based on the teachings of my instructors and my own personal experience. The origin of the Sefer Yetzirah is masked in history. The Talmud has a cryptic statement that the Sefer, the book, was written by Abraham the patriarch, who wrote it as a book of proselytizing, his personal knowledge that there is only one Creator. The book teaches people how to have a personal experience of their personal Creator, which is the same God, because there's only one God. But that one God presents himself, herself, itself to each individual uniquely. One way to experience the Creator is through the mechanistic perceptions of the science of Hebrew astrology. So revealed in the book is the underpinnings of that science, Hebrew astrology. Another way to experience the Creator is to realize the unity of all things that are created by the Creator. There are also aspects of this in the Sefer Yetzirah that has come down to us over the centuries. Another important way to experience the Creator is through Hebrew meditation, which is included within the Sefer Yetzirah as well. It is my hope to teach all aspects of these methods of reaching, of getting closer to the Creator. In that sense, the teachings will not be academic, but experiential. Yet it is up to you to actualize the information and bring it into your life. That choice is yours. Since there are many different ways to experience the Creator, it is important that the instructor not limit the student, but provide advice. Next week, we will be given an overview of the spiritual laws involved by reading an essay from the teacher who taught me these techniques. This week, I am bringing you information from Wikipedia, as well as some Jewish sources, as well as my own experience, to prepare your vessel to handle the light that is within the Sefer Yetzirah. Some of you will find that the idea of different ways of learning the Sefer will be too slow for you. And I apologize to you for not meeting your desires, your wants. As in my experience of this area, your wants need to be limited by your needs. Actually, it is better to say your wants need to have a vessel, a garment of your needs, rather than the usual, your wants are the garment for your needs. Please reread the above paragraph and make sure you understand these terms. This class will assume you have a background in Kabbalah and its vocabulary, called the language of branches. Here is the current Wikipedia page along with my comments as of May 2013. There is a request on the Wikipedia page for an expert in Kabbalah to modify it as it is known to be limited and incomplete, even by non-Kabbalists. This request was written in October 2008. In the almost 5 years since then, no Kabbalah expert has modified the page. What do you think is the reason? The Sefer Yetzirah, the Book of Formation, is the title of the earliest extant book on Jewish esotericism, although some early commentators treated it as an essay on mathematical and linguistic theory as opposed to the Kabbalah. Yetzirah is more literally translated as formation. The word Bria is used for creation. Anna, was that a cough or a laugh? My commentary. The article touches on the correct understanding of the two terms, formation and creation. They refer to two different stages in the creative process of the four stages of Rabbi Ashlag, as well as the two different worlds as described more generally in the Kabbalah. You need to contemplate what is the difference between formation and creation terms in your worldview. And this is your homework for this week. Please remind me next week to speak of the difference and also the meaning in Kabbalah. The origin of the Sefer Yetzirah . A cryptic story in the Babylonian Talmud states that on the eve of every Shabbat, Yehuda Hanasi's pupils, Rabbi Hanina and Rabbi Hoshaya, who devoted themselves especially to cosmogony, used to create a delicious calf by means of the Sefer Yetzirah and ate it on the Sabbath. Mystics assert that the biblical patriarch Abraham used miraculous creations. The War of the Five Kings versus the Four Kings in the book of Genesis refers to Abraham rescuing his nephew Lot with 318 men. The Midrash says that it actually was one man, his servant Eliezer, and the tools of the Sefer Yetzirah, the miracles attributed to the other rabbis of the Talmudic era, are ascribed by rabbinic commentators to the use of this same book. The Sefer Yetzirah's appendix declares that Abraham was the recipient of the divine revelation of mystic lore. It is revealed by all practicing Kabbalists until the 20th century, that Abraham was the author of the Sefer Yetzirah. Among them are the rabbis of the classical rabbinic era and philosopher Kabbalists such as Sadia Gaon, Shabtai Donolo, and Yehuda Halevi, who was the author of the Kuzari. Never doubted that Abraham was the author of the book. In Pardes Rimonim, Moses ben Jacob Cordovero, known as the Ramak, mentions a minority opinion that Rabbi Akiva authored it and takes it to mean Abraham wrote it and Akiva redacted it to its current form. Jewish Midrash attributes the teachings to the book of Raziel, given to Adam, and that from Adam it passed over to Hanoch ben Yered, and then to Noah, who gave it to his eldest son Shem, who was called Malkitzedek, who transferred it to Abraham, the friend of Hashem, along with the high priesthood of the world. My commentary. This worldly high priesthood is an important concept in Kabbalah and is not shared with most teachers to their students. The teaching is concealed in the idea of Aaron becoming the high priest instead of Moshe. According to modern historians, the origin of the text is unknown and hotly debated. Some scholars believe it might have an early medieval origin, while others emphasize earlier traditions appearing in the book. The division of the letters into the three classes of vowels, mutes, and consonants also appears in Hellenic texts. Hellenistic texts is referring to the influence of the Greeks upon Judaism. My commentary. Hellenistic text refers to Jewish writings that have Greek influence. It is rumored, and my intuition says it is true, that every Greek philosopher studied with one of the Jewish sages, which is where Western civilization gets its wisdom. This includes Plato, Aristotle, Pythagoras, and every other Greek philosopher. The historical origin of the Sefer Yetzirah was placed by Ritzenstein in the second century of the before the Common Era. And according to the Christopher Benton, the Hebrew grammatical form places its origin closer to the period of the Mishnah, which is around the second century of the Common Era. In a manuscript in the British Museum, the Sefer Yetzirah is called Hilkot Yetzirah and declared to be esoteric lore, not accessible to anyone but the truly pious, where it is mentioned as being used by Nachmanides for Kabbalistic purposes. My commentary. The Talmud also has a cryptic one-line statement that the Sefer Yetzirah was originally written by Abraham, who was the world's first and or foremost astrologer. It was originally written as a book of outreach to his generation so that they would learn how to know the Creator. It consisted of 400 chapters. Our current versions, there are multiple manuscripts, as discussed below, have only 6 chapters. Does this mean we have lost this information? Not necessarily. It may very well be revealed in certain writings of the Talmud, and in other writings, especially the writings of the Kabbalist Abraham Abulafia. Rabbi Abulafia was excommunicated by the rabbis of the 13th century, and his writings were outlawed and banned. They have only been recently translated, literally in the last 40 years. We will be teaching some of these techniques as they are unique meditative techniques. I think it is good to have a quick study of Rabbi Abulafia, as the story is amazing and does impact your thinking if you allow it to. Rabbi Abulafia was a Kabbalist who decided to go see the Pope so that world peace could happen and the Mashiach would manifest. Now, truthfully, he didn't decide. He received a message to do this. He traveled a number of hundred or thousand miles and arrived at the gates of Rome, and then at the gates of the Vatican, where he demanded to see the Pope, because he had a message from God for the Pope. And he was treated like we would treat someone making that statement today. He was arrested and then spent approximately 3 months in jail when the Pope died and he was released. This happened on the day he was to be hung by order of that Pope. Do you think this is a coincidence? What do you think the message for the Pope was? Contemplate these questions during the meditations that are recommended by the Sefer Yetzirah. Current Jewish academic writers indicate that Rabbi Akiva is the author. The Kabbalists teach that the author is Abraham. And I follow what the Ramak described without full revelation. Rabbi Akiva received an Ibur of Abraham to redact the manuscript. The Sefer Yetzirah exists in multiple versions, including the short version, the long version, the Sadia Gaon version, and the Gra version, among others. The differences among these versions tend to be minor. My commentary. Actually, these differences are major. We will be using the version of the Gra, which is the same version as the Ramak. It has certain verses in chapter 1 and elsewhere that do not appear in the other versions. The most famous English translation is by Rabbi Aryeh Kaplan, and many people get this copy to follow along with my classes. I do identify most of where the differences lie. It is up to you if you want to get this book, yet I strongly suggest that you do work and you do practice what is taught. Reading the Kaplan version does help, but not if you think that that is the work itself. There are things missing in the Kaplan version. There are hints missing in the Kaplan version. And I will give you an unwritten commentary that I was told. I've never verified it myself. I was told that the children of Rabbi Kaplan, who lived in New York, went to the same yeshivas as the children of Rabbi Berg, who started the Kabbalah Center in America. The children of Rabbi Berg were taught Kabbalah from the time they were small children. The children of the Rabbi Kaplan were not. And when they asked their father, and this was related to the Berg children, when they asked their children, he forbade them from studying the Kabbalah. I do not know if this is a true story. It's information for you to decide, for you to contemplate. The first two versions, the short version and the long version, the short version is about 1,300 words, while the long version is about 2,600 words. In the 13th century of the Common Era, Abraham Abulafia noted the existence of both of them. In the 10th century, the Sadia Gaon wrote his commentary based on a manuscript which was reorganized copy of the longer version, now called the Sadia version. And in the 16th century, the Ari, Rabbi Isaac Luria, redacted the text, the short version, to harmonize it with the Zohar. And then in the 18th century, the Gra, Eliyahu, the Gaon of Vilna, further redacted this, and it is now called the Gra version. My commentary. The Gra teaches a form of Kabbalah which is different and unique from the version followed by most people today. It relates to the concept of Mashiach ben Yosef, or Mashiach ben Ephraim. It strives to put Mashiach into consciousness rather than a person. The modern rabbis who are making statements that people should leave the exile and return to the physical land of Israel. the modern state of Israel. Those teachings are coming from rabbis who have been influenced by the descendants or the students of the Brah who immigrated to Israel in the 1800s. I'm going to stop here. We have a few minutes left, but I think you've been given enough information that you need to kind of absorb it. Does anyone have any questions? Classes tonight. At 4:30 West Coast time, we will have a deeper Zohar class. And at 7 p.m. West Coast time, we will have a Rosh Chodesh event, because it is Rosh Chodesh ER, which is 2 days. That's from sundown tonight, Thursday night, until Motzi Shabbat. I hope you all have a beautiful afternoon, and I wish you all Kodesh Tov.
Hey, thank you. No.
Shalom. Shalom Gadol.
Shalom Gadol. Shalom.
Thank you. Shalom. Thank you.